My fellow Americans, let me say this with candor and honesty before I trip over the podium. Here comes the Colonel.
Yes, yes, it's an election year. We can tell that for sure. Okay, welcome back. The second half hour, the promise of tomorrow. Here on the Science News Radio Network, I'm your host. I'm Colonel Mason. In just a minute, we're going to get back to our interview with Dave Copps, the founder and CEO of Brainspace Corporation, a company headquartered in Dallas, Texas, and utilizing machine learning commercially. Fascinating stuff. You're going to love to listen to him. But right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information we keep here on the set. Rummage around in the coin jar just a minute for today's query.
Welcome to the fountain of useless information. How can I help
you? Yes, of course. We have awakened the spirit of the fountain, who knows all, hears all, sees all, and tells all. For a price, that's why, of course, we had to throw in the coins. All right, oh spirit of the fountain, here is one that will throw you. Name the cold ocean current that meets the warmer Gulf Stream along the east coast of North America. Aha! The name of the cold ocean current that meets the Gulf Stream on the east coast of North America. What is it, O Spirit of the Fountain?
I have given you my answer, and now you may tell me.
Cannot fool the Spirit of the Fountain, who knows all, hears all, sees all, and tells all. All right. The name of the cold ocean current that meets the warmer Gulf Stream along the east coast of North America? If you said the Labrador Current, yeah, you're right. Okay, back to our program. Okay, we're back with Dave Copps. He's the founder and CEO of Brainspace Corporation, a company headquartered in Dallas, Texas, playing a key role in the emergence and utilization of machine learning commercially. And we're learning a lot. There's a lot of new stuff, isn't it, Dave?
It's just a new era. You know, you're starting to think about this. You almost think about, you know, even in science, when you zoom out, right, when you zoom out from whatever you're observing, different patterns, you can see different patterns when you kind of zoom out. You're not able to zoom out as a person. You look at every document almost like a molecule, you know, and then you try to connect them all from being inside. And it's not until you can actually kind of zoom out and start to emerge and connect things, or start to connect things and see what emerges, that you can start to see the stories and giving you the answers you're looking for.
Well, I've touched the very hem of the subject, and I know that. And you're going to be speaking in Etricon, and you're going to be talking to some people, a lot of people, a whole lot smarter than me. What have we missed? What didn't I ask you? What is the takeaway? What do you want the people at Metricon to get after they listen to your presentation?
Well, I think the important thing is everyone kind of looks at machine learning and AI as a future technology, something that will happen someday. I think the message is it's here, and it's working today inside of corporations. We're a company in Dallas of about 56 employees, but we have some of the world's largest companies as clients. We're standardizing our technology globally. We're installing close to 100. Instances around the world this year, all over the U.S. and Asia and Europe, with, you know, three of the big four international consulting firms are clients today. And Fortune 10 clients are using our technology or standardizing our technology to help them surface the answers that they to date have not been able to find inside their data. So I think one of the messages is that this is real. It's happening today. It's something that I think everyone needs to take a look at. I was asked yesterday by a person, why isn't machine learning a part of everything? And my answer was, it will be. We're not looking at a trend here. Machine learning and AI is not a trend. It's a totally new foundational technology that will be a part of everything going forward. There's so much data being produced today that if you're not using machine learning and AI to understand the patterns and to create connectedness inside of it, you're going to be falling behind. I mean, kind of a sense of Darwinism is going to set in, I think, in the market. Those that don't engage machine learning and AI are going to fall behind the ones that are.
Wow. So you gave us a bit of a look into the future. We understand that that Brain Space right now is operational, but that it's going to continue to be improved. So let's expand on that just a little bit. Put your thinking cap on. Well, look down the road 5 years, 10 years, 15 or 20, I don't care, and give us a view of the future.
Well, I tell you, we're a company that's really based on innovation. You know, our entire team is innovating every day, and I think what we're seeing is just this continuing down the path towards beyond machine learning into deep learning. So we made an announcement a couple weeks ago. We hired one of the very top data scientists in the world to work with BrainSpace now, David Lewis. And that's kind of a demonstration of our commitment to continually learning on how to create this technology to be better, faster, better learning, and more scalable. And we're going to continue down that path. I think the future, you know, we could see a day when every company has a BrainSpace. You know, why wouldn't every company want to understand, you know, what their data is telling them and what answers are lying inside the data they're producing and curating every day? It's not a need that only a few people have. It's a need that every company has. You know, if you have the ability to understand your data and to use that to create competitive advantage, why wouldn't you do that? So we envision a world where every company has built a brain space that allows them to understand and surface patterns and ideas and thoughts and insights inside their data that help them become more productive, that help them compete more effectively. And that's the world we envision.
Well, Dave, I'm so glad to be able to have you on the program, because you're an absolutely fascinating guest. I know that in your career you've been mentored, and you probably mentor a lot of people that are coming into your organization. Do you have a word of wisdom for us, some words to live by or something? Do you have a creed you can pass along?
You know, you may not know this about me, but I was an anthropology major in college, which, should, you know, given what I'm doing for a living, doesn't seem like it makes sense, but it really makes all the sense in the world. I studied corporate culture, you know, and when people come into our company, I actually I have a breakfast with all new employees, and I talk about culture. I don't talk about our technology, I don't talk about anything like that, or operations. I talk about culture, what it means to work here. And you know, I like to kind of tell people that we have I use the word Ubuntu. You know, I said we have an Ubuntu culture, which means that, loosely translated, it's a Swahili word that means I am who I am because of who we are together. You know, and so I think, you know, when I look at it, when people look at a company like ours, I think it's all about technology. And it's really not. It's about the people. It's about the people that create the technology. And so we have when I give advice to smaller companies, it's build a culture where people want to come in and do something great together. And I think that's what we've done at BrainSpace. I do some mentoring down at Tech Wildcatters and the DEC here in Dallas, Dallas Entrepreneur Center. And those are some of the things that I talk about, you know, just how to build a great company. And it's all about culture. You know, it's not always about the technology. It's about the culture and the people who can make this happen together.
Well, Dave, you've been a fascinating guest. So glad that you were able to be part of the program. We're going to look forward to seeing you at the Metricon conference. Those who want to know more about that can go to our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right hand side of your screen, you'll see a link to the conference, and you'll be able to search out Dave Copps, founder and CEO of BrainSpace Corporation, a company headquartered in Dallas, Texas, that's playing a key role in the emergence and utilization of machine learning commercially. Fascinating stuff. Thanks, Dave. We loved having you.
Thanks, Carl. Enjoyed it.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Right now, we're going to go to the phones. We've got a real treat. We have an old friend with us. A lady we've known for a number of years, Diane Collier. She this year is the chairman of the 29th annual conference, Metricon, Innovating for Society. Lockheed Martin's a major sponsor, so is Encore, and a number of others. And this is really, Diane, this is your second year, I think, to be the chairman. Is that right?
Yes, it is. We had a great year last year. 7 tracks, all very interesting material, and so we're working on doing it again for 2016.
You made such an impression with your leadership last year that the committee begged you to please stay on and come back and be tortured again, putting the show together this year. All right.
Well, they didn't have to twist my arm very hard. I've been involved with the conference a lot of those 29 years, so I've got a lot of background in it.
Yeah, really,
I remember it back when it was two.
Yeah, you're an old hand. Actually, I remember because you and I have been dealing together with IEEE functions for a number of years now. So this is nothing new for you. This is the 29th straight year for MetroCon, and it's highly respected. And it's a one-day conference, which is what is really amazing, is because you're able to get all these people together, all these neat things going on for one day. And there's a lot of other conferences that do 2 and 3 days and more. They wonder how you do it, how you get it all together. I mean, do you have any insight for us?
Well, it takes lots of planning. We start the next conference as the last one ends. We've got folks that have been involved with it for a number of years, and we cycle new people in to try to keep it fresh. What some of the multi-day conferences that have is a lot of people who travel. This one is primarily local, and so we're able to give people a break out of their work day into a training atmosphere and a networking atmosphere where they can get away from the office but still be building their technical background and their careers, and it's been a growing thing for a number of years.
Yeah, it's been fascinating to see it grow and sponsors coming aboard that really are pretty far flung. I remember last year Landis Gear came in. They're the ones who make the smart meters for us with Encore. I think they're coming back again this year. We're supposed to know here in a little bit. But so the sponsors have really grown widely. And I understand that unlike a lot of conferences that IEEE does and others that are marginal, that really MetroCon pays the bills and actually is a pretty good fundraiser for the organization.
Yes, it's taken us a while to get there, but this last year we had the best year fiscally ever, so we're able to put on other programs within the section. We do some reach out with programs that involve STEM studies, and so it gives us a greater base to improve the conference and to put on other programs within the area.
Yeah, well, that's the reason, I guess, is you're so highly respected and really noticed, quite frankly, far and wide. I mean, I hear people talking about MetroCon in all different parts of the country. They've asked me about it. Some of the things this year you're expanding upon, like systems and software track. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Let's see, the track chair for that is Steve Carr, and he's got a co-chair, Pascal Ronda. And they're out of Lockheed Martin, and they've got a good number of folks that are from Lockheed speaking in that track, and also an old friend of ours that's been there several years, John Robb, who's at UTA, is going to be speaking on mutation testing. Let's see, we also have Ali L. Karabi from Hewlett-Packard, and I think they have another speaker that's going to be very interesting that they're lining up soon.
All right, that's cool. I believe, last I heard, and tell me if it's still in the works, but there's going to be a speaker from IBM. Has that been confirmed?
Yes, our keynote speaker is Romelia Flores from IBM. She is a IBM Distinguished Engineer and Master Inventor, and she's going to be talking about their Watson project. Now, Watson is really a lot of different things, and really ties in with our computational intelligence track, as you can take information and using Watson, grow that information to evaluate potential outcomes, and she'll be talking about, I think, an application that applies to the energy industry. among other things. We're not limiting her. She is really a fantastic speaker, and we're really excited to have her.
Okay, so she's really kind of still developing the things that she's going to be talking about, and I guess we'll know more about that as the weeks and months go on leading up to MetroCon. Which, incidentally, we should mention right now, it's October 26th at the Arlington Convention Center. We'll mention that again before the program is over with. I presume that she might have something to do with that, developing and deploying secure systems, too. The cybersecurity, is she going to address any of that, or do you have other experts there?
Well, we have other experts there. That track is led by Philip Todd and Princy Mehta of Lockheed Martin. You notice we have a lot of folks involved from Lockheed.
Mm-hmm.
They have a speaker coming in from FBI office. And, of course, we don't have a name for that person because they will maintain their security.
Sure.
We also have... one of our speakers on developing and deploying secure systems is Ben Colony, and he is a person who's spoken at the conference several times.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to speak on structure assurance modeling. We also have Don Breyer, who's going to be speaking on considerations for multidisciplinary approach and engineering of trustworthy secure systems. It's going to be a strong track. They always have some very in-depth security programs in that area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. We covered. Did we finish covering machine intelligence with the IBM speaker, or is there more to talk about with that track?
With that track, Romelia will be speaking Romelia will be speaking to the entire body at the luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
The computational intelligence track, some of the questions that people have is, you talk about artificial intelligence, machine intelligence, computational intelligence. What do all those things mean? And so we've got a panel discussion where those terms will be compared and contrasted.
Okay.
And that will start off the track to kind of get a lay of groundwork for the track. The track chairs for that is Oscar Garcia of UNT.
Mm-hmm.
And the co-chair is Ed Safford. Ed Safford is an IEEE member that's worked with us for a number of years on
three
programs in this section.
Yeah, we know Ed. We know Ed really, really well. Very, very talented, intelligent guy. Sure, Ed Safford.
Mm-hmm. We have a professor from Wright State University, Dayton, Ohio, coming. Michael Cox is
That's cool.
On intelligent autonomy and long duration persistent activities, which I probably should attend that to find out exactly what that means.
Okay. All right.
Here's another one that I think sounds really interesting, and this is another person from the University of North Texas, Rodney Nielsen,
mm-hmm.
is speaking on perceptive, emotive, spoken dialogue companion robots, which... I think that will tie in very, very well to the Watson title. One of the interesting things is if you go to the IBM site where Watson has some tools that you can use or play with, is there's an item where you can put in your email information that you're going to put into an email and send, and check the tone of your email.
Mm.
You can tell whether you sound angry or or joyful.
You mean in the written word, it'll prompt you as to whether you're sounding angry or joyful or insulting or whatever.
Yes,
whatever.
It'll give you the information on how you sound.
Well, you know, that's really
and
That's really something, because, you know, we know with voice inflection, as we can tell, if somebody is angry or happy or whatever, and so we're pretty good. And in body language, too, with our looks and things like that, but the written word can be treacherous. There's times when people have dashed off a note to me or me to somebody else, and I'm looking back at it later on and say, well, that sounds really, you know, blunt. And almost sounds confrontational, and it wasn't meant that way at all. So that's pretty cool.
So I think that's a useful tool for us. So I think that should tie, those things tie well to the Watson program at the luncheon.
Yeah, and power and energy systems, that's another one. Of course, that's a specialty with IEEE, since you happen to be in the business of power and energy systems. And I understand Encore is going to be making a presentation there. We're hoping to have the CEO of Encore, a guest on the program one of the days pretty soon. But is there any more that we need to know about the power and energy systems track?
Well, that track is led by Power Zell and Michael Stevens. And they are both from Encore, and they have just filled their track. They're from the Power Engineering Society, which is one of the strongest societies in the Fort Worth section.
Mm-hmm.
They have the most active chapter. Some of the interesting things is how they could be tied to the security track, because they have power system cybersecurity by Joe Eisenstein of Encore. And they're also looking at some other things in power, integration of renewable variable energy resources from Lee Z of Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
And power systems and physical and cybersecurity, another item in the track that ties to cybersecurity. Colin Gordon is speaking on that, and he's from SEL.
So it's interesting, a number of these tracks really kind of interchange and intermingle and complement each other. That's another reason for the great success that MetroCon is able to pull off in a one-day conference. It's pretty impressive. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community-supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
Well, you know, it really just comes down to thought, I think, you know, and, you know, it's a life where you can really drive some things if you try, and always trying to be innovative and trying to look for the solution, voice of the client, and that came to me a long time ago. You know, us engineers, we shoot the dart right for the center of the target, and sometimes that's not the game you're playing, and listen to the client. You know, the engineers, these guys that are out there know what they need, and it's up to us to give solutions with some of the new things. So I'm hoping everyone keeps their ears and eyes open, and we all work together and make this all happen. So, hi, I'm John Sinisi, industrial engineer and fire barrier and fire stop expert.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
Tomorrow, 'cause you know what will be there. I am waiting for you. you. I am waiting for you.